The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me. Today we're going to look at the essence of my message regarding the poverty of believers. So the overview, the time I wrote this in 2021, September, I was recently requested to write a piece about believers in financial lack. Could get out of that situation. That is the aim of this broadcast. Following are the points to consider. As always, this is only relevant to committed believers. We will start by noting that Father wants believers to prosper, while Satan wants believers in poverty, and that poverty is a consequence of curses, sin, or error, so that we will prosper through the sweat of our brows. It will be stressed that begging from those who are ministering is an offense in the sight of Yah. You will note that single believing men will battle to survive, while single believing women can ask Father to be their husband. We will stress that tithing to a ministry in error is futile, and that one should tithe to those who truly teach truth. We will note that a divided house will fall, while a united house will prosper. It will be stressed that it is vital to cut off all extraneous sexual bonds and all curses. We will share a particular note regarding curses of an African people. We will then look at processes for cleaning up and stress that you should walk in emunah or faith. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as an IT project manager. I have over 29 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Mission Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the top menu, the show, and then on the drop-down podcasts for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. You'll find that there are a number of podcast websites which have the back issues of these broadcasts. So we're going to talk tonight about Article 2021-0902, the essence of my message regarding the poverty of believers. As I said a moment ago, I was at the time of writing, I had been requested to write a piece about how believers in financial lack could get out of that situation. That is the aim of this broadcast. Following are the points to consider. As always, this article is only relevant to committed believers. So point number one, Father wants believers to prosper. If you're a truly committed believer and you are in lack, then this broadcast is for you. It is vital to understand that it is Father's will for you to prosper and be in health. If you are not prospering, then there's something wrong, and it is within your power to rectify the situation. This article outlines the things you need to take into account. Point number two, Satan wants believers in poverty. As a committed believer, it is vital to understand that the satanic and demonic realm want you in poverty, and therefore ineffective in the service of Yah, the Almighty Creator. So your battle against poverty is a battle against the satanic and demonic realm that is attacking you. Folks, these two points are really, really important. Father says, I desire that you should prosper and be in health. If you're prospering and you're in health, you have the resources to do things in the service of Father. Sadly, a lot of people who do prosper disregard Father almost completely or completely and think that they've prospered by their own endeavors. And on the other hand, a lot of committed believers don't fully understand what we're talking about in this broadcast. And so they get trapped in poverty, and because of their poverty, they're severely limited in what they can do in the service of Father. So it's a vicious two-edged sort of situation. It's walking a tightrope, if you like. But the important thing to understand is that if you're in poverty, it's either because you're lazy or just not working hard, or not looking hard for work, or else you are being attacked, and that you are only being attacked because you've got sin in your life. So poverty at some level is an indication of sin. It's also an indication of lack of relationship with Father if you're at some level trying to serve him. So important to keep that in mind. Point number three, poverty is a consequence of curses, sin, or error. In all cases, poverty is a consequence of curses, sin, or error, including error regarding your sexual relationships. And I made this point in the previous, a moment ago, but I can't stress it enough. If you are in financial lack and you are seriously seeking to serve Father, then you are doing something wrong. It's not Father's will for you to be in poverty. He wants you to prosper. So if you're not prospering, I'm sorry to say it, but there's something wrong in your life. There's something wrong in your relationship with Father. There's something wrong in the way you're leading your life. And I hope by the time I finish this broadcast, I will have given you some serious pointers as to things that you should be looking at. So basically, if somebody's cursing you, you can be in poverty, but a curse without sin will not alight. So that means that there's sin or error in your life, and primarily sin. So sin, breaking any one of the Ten Commandments, breaking any of the other commandments of Father, I don't have time to go into that in detail here. There's an article on the website about living life above sin. Have a look at that. It'll go into quite a lot of detail about what's required to live above sin, and explain to you why I say that if you're in poverty, it's probably because you're in sin. And the important thing to realize is that most of what is taught in the church, etc., today is error. So Jesus is not God. His name is not Jesus. His name is Yeshua. The Almighty's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, or Yahweh, or Yahuwah, not the Lord, not God, which means the Almighty. All of that's sin. So if you're believing that and you're in poverty, then you need to deal with that stuff. And there's a lot of material on the website. See the essence of my message regarding names, for example. Then we will prosper through the sweat of our brows. It is also vital to understand that you will prosper through the sweat of your brow in the Bible, Genesis 3:19. So you're going to have to work hard, except on the Sabbath, which is Saturday or the High Sabbath. I work extremely hard Monday to Friday, about 16 hours a day, in order to generate the income that allows me to keep the websites up, the mailing lists active, and the radio show live, etc. You also have to work hard. If you're sitting home and praying for a breakthrough, then you need to think again and go out and get work. And in doing this, you need to realize that the vast majority of people who can give you work are unbelievers. So you need to pray for wisdom, understanding, and favor, and clean up your life so there's no sin that the forces of darkness can use to obstruct financial provision. Just because you have a ministry that takes up much of your time does not mean that you do not have to go out and get a job or do something else legal to generate income. Folks, it's no good sitting at home and saying, my mighty one will provide all my needs according to his riches and glory by the anointing of that was upon Yeshua. Or if you like, my God will supply all my your needs through Christ Jesus. So the first thing to understand is that that verse is incorrect. It's my mighty one shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by the anointing that was upon Yeshua. In other words, you work with the anointing that's upon you in order to generate income. Then point number five, begging from those who are ministering is an offense in the sight of Yah. I fairly regularly receive begging emails from people who have come to my website. They seem to think that because I have a website, I should somehow provide for them as well. I need to stress that my ministry is to listen to Yah, publish and teach, not to use my hard-earned cash to provide for people whose life is not right with Father. So as a general rule, unless I'm deeply moved to help someone, I do not provide finance to these people. Fundamentally, they should be giving to me if they're learning from me. Folks, again, if you are reduced to begging from anyone, especially begging from somebody who is actually putting themselves out there teaching, incurring costs in order to share their message with you, it's not acceptable in Father's sight. You're actually committing an offense. You need to pray for the wisdom to get wealth, and then you need to go out night and day looking for work. put your hand to whatever Father shows you you can do. You may have to compromise on your standards for a while, or your perceived or your aspired living standards. But at the end of the day, you have to go out and get a job. You have to engage in trade. You have to run your business. You have to do something constructive, proactive, in order to generate a living for yourself and not be a burden on others. In point number six, single believing men will battle to survive. As a general principle, only in extreme cases should a believing man be single. There are far fewer believing men than believing women, and therefore every believing man should be covering at least one believing woman. If a believing man is joined to an unbelieving woman, then the house is divided. One is serving Yah and the other is serving Satan. The man should either convert the unbelieving woman or divorce her. Folks, that may sound harsh, but fundamentally, an unbeliever does not believe Yah exists. How is Yah going to prosper you if you're joined to an unbeliever? And this cuts either way. If you are a believer, a committed believer, you're really doing all you can to serve Yah within the restrictions of your marriage, and your partner, male or female, is an unbeliever, the house is divided. You're going to battle. And then if you're a single man, it's written, where two agree on anything, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. That was Yeshua speaking. Now, if you're single, you don't have anybody to be in agreement with you. And this, I'm talking now specifically to men. So if you're a single man, you are probably going to battle at some level financially in order to maintain your ministry and serve Father and still have money for food and clothing and a place to stay and so forth. So really, really important that very few believing men should be celibate and single. Find yourself a strong believing woman and join yourself to her and work together to serve Yah. Then point number seven, single believing women can ask Father to be their husband. There are about seven times more believing women than believing men in the body of true believers. A believing woman should not marry an unbelieving man, and if she is joined to such a man, she should either convert him or divorce him. So the same point that I made a minute ago in the other direction. It is vital for a single believing woman to understand that once she has dealt with all the issues in this broadcast, she can ask Father to be her husband, cover her, and provide for her. She will still have to be industrious and hardworking in some endeavor through which Father can provide the blessing. So a couple of points here. The first one, to a woman, if you're married to a man who's an unbeliever, it's significantly more destructive than a man married to an unbelieving woman, because you're under his covering, he's your head, and his head is Satan. You need to get out of that relationship quickly. Either convert him, which experience says is not something that happens all that easily, or divorce him. No matter how much you love him, no matter how many children you have by him, trust Father to make a way. And then the other side of it is, if you are a single woman, believing woman, go to Father and say, Father, I ask you to be my husband, and then commit yourself to him wholeheartedly and ask him to lead you, ask him to guide you, ask him to help you with provision. However, you still need to get a job. You still need to work a reasonable working day in order to earn an income, or you have to have a business, or you need to do something legal in the sight of Father to earn an income. Then tithing to a ministry in error is futile. If you're tithing to a ministry that is teaching error, for example, still using the blasphemous names, the Lord, God, Jesus, Christ, teaching that Jesus is God, the Bible is the Word of God, and Jesus is the Word of God, then you are sowing in sterile ground and yoking yourself to the satanic and demonic realm. Stop giving to such a ministry and get out of that ministry or convert them to the truth. Folks, this is so important. There's a multitude of churches out there. I can only speak from the Christian point of view. I suspect it's probably similar with other religions, but there are a multitude of Christian churches that are teaching error. They're prospering because the satanic and demonic realm are happy for them to prosper because of the error that they're teaching. People are giving tithes, and where the person who's giving tithes to the church is seriously trying to serve Father, the probability is they will battle financially. If you're not really serving Father, if you're just a nominal believer and maybe you go to church now and again, it really doesn't matter. The forces of darkness aren't going to mess with you, and you may well prosper under those circumstances. But if you're really seeking to serve Father, and I want to stress, the people that I'm talking to tonight are people who are really, really, really committed to serving Father. They're doing all that they can find to do, and they are still battling financially. Those are the people that I'm speaking to. If you're nominal, if you sort of think, well, yes, I think that the Almighty exists, and I'll go to church now and again, and just to sort of ease my conscience, I'll give some money to the church. Chances are the satanic and demonic realm are pretty much going to leave you alone and let you prosper because you're no threat to them. The minute you become really committed and start pouring out your heart to Father and really seeking to serve Him, it becomes a different story. Then 9, tithe to those who truly teach truth. If you're truly receiving teaching that is true and valuable, then you should tithe or at least give to that ministry, and Yah will reward you. Now, that's a tricky one because, you know, I went down this road of getting kicked out of churches and what have you, and tithing to various churches, etc., for many years after I first came to a deep relationship with Father, because I had believed the teaching which said that the church is the house of God, and you should give a tenth of your income before tax to the church. So I did, and I dug myself into a deep, dark hole financially. And not many people who are really teaching truth. If you happen to know somebody who really is teaching truth, then Father expects you to give your tithe to that ministry, to that person. If you're not giving that tithe to that ministry, to that person, you're sinning. Particularly if you're blessed financially and you're blessed by the teaching of that ministry or that person. In point number 10, a divided house will fall. A house divided against itself will fall. See in the Bible, Mark 3:25 and Luke 11:17. If the woman and the man are in strife or division, then the house will fall. The forces of darkness will attack your finances. If either man or woman is sexually joined to another outside of the family through legacy sexual one-flesh bonds, then the house is divided and it will fall. All extraneous one-flesh bonds must be cut, and all other ties must also be cut off. See the article, The Essence of My Message Regarding Separation of Man and Woman. If a man is one with a woman who's not living with him and he took her virginity, then there's a blood covenant and he should bring her under his covering and under his roof. He must at least make the offer, and if she refuses, then he must divorce her. If she accepts, then other women in his life must accept her. Folks, this is a really challenging one on a couple of fronts. If you are constantly arguing with your spouse, whether you're a male or a female, your house is going to fall. If one of you is believing that the true names of Father are Yah and the Almighty and so forth, and the other is calling him God, the Lord, and so forth, the house is divided. It will fall. It doesn't matter if you can't agree on bringing up the children, it can't agree, if you can't agree on the business, can't agree on your investments, on a house or whatever, the house will fall. You will get demonic, satanic interference with your finances, and ultimately you will end up bankrupt and in the street if you don't deal with it. If you're married legally and you can't reconcile your differences, there is a point at which Father will tell one of you to divorce the other. If you're both sincere, committed believers, that gets pretty tricky. If the woman a man calls wife was not a virgin when he first took her, then she is not his wife. She's a harlot, and she should return to the man who took her virginity, or at least request that he takes her back. If he refuses, she can divorce him and marry the man she presently calls husband. All these ties must be cleaned up and cut off before prosperity will come. As a general rule, if all the other issues in this broadcast are dealt with and a man and woman are in poverty, it is because either the man treats his wife badly or she treats her husband badly. Man and woman are commanded to treat each other well and with love. If a man comes from a social context where men treat women badly, then you need to get rid of this wrong thinking and treat your wife gently and with tenderness. Folks, it should come as no surprise that in a lot of societies where men treat women badly, they're in poverty. He's not treating her badly because he's in poverty. He's treating her badly, and therefore he's in poverty. Wherever you are, Father is able to give you wisdom to get wealth. He's able to help you find a way of generating a legal, righteous income. There's a bunch of things that I'm talking about. And if you've dealt with all of them and you're still in poverty, then look very carefully at this. If you had sex as a youngster with a girl and took her virginity, you need to deal with that. There's an article on the separation of man and woman on the website. Look at that. Conversely, a united house will prosper if the man and his woman or women are in perfect unity. Then the more women there are in harmony, the greater the prosperity. However, in this age, it is almost impossible for more than one woman to be in harmony with one man. So as a general rule, one should limit oneself to a monogamous situation. Fundamentally, a fully united house with all the other issues dealt with will prosper. This is so important to understand. Deal with all the issues that I'm talking about on this program. Cut off all the curses. Deal with all the sin. Deal with all the error. Father, show me the level of my present deception and how to correct it. Judge me severely and correct me harshly that I may serve you more perfectly. But at the end of the day, if the house is united, it will prosper. Yes, you need to deal with the other things, but fundamentally, where you need to be is in a harmonious relationship with your other half, or whatever you want to call it. I don't really like the term other half. I don't know why I used it. With your marriage partner, and you don't have to be legally married. If you're sexually one with one another, marriage as a legal right is completely irrelevant and not applicable. If you want to get legally married for legal and societal reasons, that's fine. If you just want to consummate your relationship and live together, that's also fine. Have a look at what's written on the website. So cut off all extraneous sexual bonds. As touched on before, it is vital to cut off all extraneous sexual bonds. So if a man or woman has had multiple sexual partners previously, they will have significant spiritual work to clean up before they can prosper. See the article cited before for the relevant prayers and also the article on drawing close that's presented later. If you have sexual intercourse, penis in vagina, penis in vulva, penis in mouth, penis in anus, any of those, you will have a one flesh bond with the person you had sex with. That makes you a house in spiritual terms. If you're not living together in harmony, you are going to suffer. If you're not living together at all and maybe lost touch with one another, then you need to ask Father either to reunite you or else to bring you to a place where you can cut off those bonds. Folks, and this applies whether you had casual, varied sex before you came to serve Father or whether you, whatever, if you have a one flesh bond with somebody who's not living with you, you are going to battle financially. Even if you just had mutual masturbation at some level, that can affect you. So it's really, really important to cut off all of those bonds. As I say, there's an article on the essence of my message regarding separation of man and woman on the website. Then cut off all curses. If there are curses, either modern curses or legacy bloodline curses operating, these can cripple a person or a family financially. All curses must be cut off. See the subsequent section for the relevant prayers. If there's someone constantly cursing you, then you need to ask Father to return the curses in the magnitude he deems appropriate so that they cease. See the prayers on the essence of my message regarding prayer webpage. Folks, curses are a big thing, and it takes time to cut off all the curses. And ideally, you want a prophetic minister who can help you, who knows what's going on. Sadly, there are not many of those around these days, and many of those that have built up practices in deliverance are in significant error around Jesus, God, the Lord, etc. So you may need to do this on your own. The simple answer is a curse without cause cannot alight. So if you are free of sin, it doesn't matter how much they curse you. I had a situation back in the sort of round about 2010 where I was receiving ministry from a highly anointed minister. I was been walking for many years in a situation where I was above sin, free of sin. And I'd been doing some things which were quite radical. And I'd been ministering deliverance to people and telling the demons to go go to the pit for 1,000 years, which I didn't have the legal right to do. It was inappropriate. And I found that I had 196 death curses against me, but they weren't affecting me. No accidents, nothing. So if you are free of sin, curses will not affect you. But if you've got sin in your life, then the curses will take you out if you're not careful. So you need to get free of sin, and then you can cut off all the curses. I want to share a particular note re-curses on African people, or people of African descent. If you're African-American, this applies to you. If you're descended from African people or are African yourself, whether you're living in Africa or elsewhere, you're subject to a particularly virulent range of curses and may also be subject to modern curses by witch doctors. In particular, most African people are subject to the curse of Canaan, referred to the Bible in Genesis 9:25. And he, that's Noah, said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." This curse may be effective in certain other cases as well, but it's primarily of effect in people of African descent. Note that it is straightforward to cut off curses. See the page on prayer and the page on cleansing. And as I've just said, you must live above sin. See the article web page, What is Required to Live Above Sin. So there's a lot of poverty in Africa, and a lot of poverty in Africa is a consequence of this curse of Canaan. So if you're African or of African descent, you need to cut off the curse. You need to deal with whatever sins you may have in your life as a consequence of the curse, and then you need to get rid of the curse. Not trivial, but relatively straightforward. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I come against every demon or messenger that is enforcing the curse of Canaan. In the name of Yeshua, I bind you, I tear you down, I cast you out, and I send you where Yah wants you to go. I cut the curse of Canaan in my life and in the life of my family. Father, I ask you to send your mighty warring messengers to bind, tear down, and send where you want to go, the spirits that I've just named. Fairly straightforward prayer. You need to be in right standing with Father when you pray it. You need to have dealt with all sin that gives the demons the right to be there. Apart from that, fairly straightforward. Then processes for cleaning up generally. The document, seven components of drawing close to Yah, on the web page of the same name, contains a substantial section on cleansing that should be read and applied in order to deal with the curses, etc., referred to above. If all the rituals and processes outlined on that web page, all the prayers given, all the fasting are applied, all the worship implemented, you will come to a place where you're in right standing with your mighty Creator, and He's able to prosper you. Folks, it's important to understand that we live in a corrupt world. There are over 100 billion demons on the planet. There are billions of satanic messengers or angels on the planet. The world is corrupt. Look at the disease, look at the war, look at the poverty, look at all the rest of it that's going on in the world, and open your eyes and see. I was told recently that somebody was unsubscribing to my material because their father said that Satan was not real, and he didn't want his son reading from my stuff that Satan was not real. Folks, just open your eyes, look around you. Satan is very, very real. Satan is the God, the mighty one of this earth, and he is dominating what's going on here. Then walk in emunah or faith. The word faith has some connotations that are not favorable, so I prepare to use the Hebrew emunah. It's vital to walk in faith. See the article on the website, the webpage, Essence of Messagery, emunah, faith. Faith is a deep, settled assurance that Father Yah exists, that He wants to bless and prosper you, that He wants you to walk in health, that He wants you to have joy, He wants you to have peace, and all the other things that He promises us. And then to walk in it, to receive it, to go forward on the basis that you know that you know that you know that He is real, that you know that you know that you know that He wants to bless you and prosper you, and that He will help you. And as I said earlier, you will prosper by the sweat of your brow. You have to work hard. If you really want to prosper, you're probably going to work long hours. You need to get a good job. You may need to start with a relatively basic job and work up. You may need to start a business. Father will help you to do something to get an income that will allow you to live comfortably at the very least. You need to do the work. You need to do the spiritual work, deal with all the things that I've spoken about, and you need to do the secular work, which is to get a job and work hard at that job and be honest and faithful and reliable and dependable and all of those things. So important. In conclusion, the journey of a believer to prosperity with Yah is a journey. It is the same journey of growing close to Yah that we should all be undertaking anyway. I encourage you to take the above to heart and act on it energetically. So, folks, if you really serve Yah faithfully and you are sensible about your finances, you are sensible about getting a job, keeping a job, etc., you will prosper. Note that it is possible for you to grow close to Father on the spiritual dimension of your relationship with Him, but be idle and unproductive in your commercial labor activities. So you can have a deep relationship with Father on the one hand and sit back and wait for Father to bring you work. On the other hand, when He's not going to bring you work, He is going to wait for you to go out and look for work. And if you go out and look for work, He'll help you to find work. It's so important to understand the distinction. Ultimately, if you draw close to Yah and you are hardworking, you will prosper. If you are commercially astute, you will prosper. There's a wide range of material on the website to help you draw close, to answer many of your questions. Is if you look at the web page, important videos, there are a whole lot of teachings on faith and finances, etc. They're mostly corrupt at some level because they use the wrong names, but just overlook that, make the necessary substitution, and learn the principles that they're talking about. As a postscript, I want to talk about something that I fairly recently became aware of and that I've called the biggest error crippling mature anointed believers. So as a codicil to this broadcast, please read the article on the webpage, Biggest Error Crippling Mature Anointed Believers. The fundamental essence of that message is, number one, you are not a glove puppet. Father is not manipulating you into prosperity. You have to do it yourself. Yah is not going to take control of your life as so many people teach and believe. Holy Spirit, take control. No, He created us to learn and to earn a place in heaven. He's not going to make it take over your life so that you become prosperous, etc., as an unthinking puppet. He created you to take dominion over the forces of darkness. He created you to exercise your intellect and ability to survive and thrive on earth, not for Him to live your life for you. You will determine your destiny when you die. It is a function of what you choose to believe and choose to do and how well you do it. So prosperity requires that you work hard, sensibly, and effectively to earn your living. There is a huge error in prosperity teaching, certainly in the Christian church, that if you give to the church, Yah will take over your life and you will prosper through Yah's leading in your life. To a point, there's some truth in that in the first few months after you come to relationship with Father, but beyond that, you have to do the work. You need to answer the job adverts. Write good covering letters. Go to interviews. Conduct yourself professionally and effectively in the interviews. Get the job. Do the job. Be loyal. Arrive on time for work. Leave after you have to leave. And generally, do a good job. So in closing, I want to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and will be bitterly disappointed when you die. So there's a piece about being led by Him in your commercial and work endeavors. If you go to Him, get on your knees and say, Father, I need to take a business decision. what do you suggest I do? I think this, this, and this, and then listen and see what he has to say to you. Partner with him. He will help you then. However, you need to do the hard yards to get to a point where you can hear him clearly. And you need to do the piece about getting on your knees and asking his opinion before you make decisions. You are not a glove puppet. He wants you to be his friend. To be his friend, you need to understand him. You need to understand his priorities. You need to get close to him. So some key documents and a video on the web pages, compendium of important articles, video, Why Seek Relationship, The Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, Seven Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity, The Essence of My Message to Christians, all available on www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio. There are at least four podcast websites where you will find the back issues. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. Those are PDFs formatted as A4 and A5 books, which you can just take to the printers and have printed, or just print out on your local printer. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's James at endtimeissueministries, one word, .org, to be added to the mailing list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search and the article search are in some way down in the right-hand sidebar. Google search is very powerful. Find what you're looking for. Lots of articles, lots of web pages, answers to a lot of your questions. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. And I'd love to hear from you. It really blesses me when somebody contacts me and says, you know, I've been listening to your broadcast, or I've been on your website or whatever, and I've got some questions. I'd love to hear from you. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, my whole mission in what's left of my life is to encourage people like you to become a friend of the Almighty Creator. It doesn't matter your religion, whether you're Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Confucian, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever. He wants you to become his friend. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter whether you're educated or uneducated, whether you're short or tall, whether you're thin or fat. It doesn't matter what your nation is, your race. It doesn't matter if you're African or Indian or Asian or European or whatever. He wants you to become his friend. It's there for you. Contact me. Go to the website. See what's there. Thank you so much. Have a good evening. Good night. Father, I come to you.